Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Guys, stop doing takeout. Stop going to eat all your meals at restaurants. Stop ordering food inexclusively. It's so expensive and you don't know where the food is coming from, how it's prepared. You gotta learn how to cook for yourself. And I know what a lot of you guys are thinking, or your gals are thinking. Seems like a lot and I can never make good stuff. I don't know what to buy. I don't know what to have on hand. Well, here's the thing. Blue Apron will take care of all that for you. I know you've probably, if you're listening to podcasts, you've heard ads for Blue Apron before. But yeah. It really works, man. They make home cooking easy for everyone, including me, who is like a giant Labrador. I could even cook the Blue Apron meals. The hardest part is making sure that there's food left at the end to plate, and I'm not just pounding everything down while I cook it. It's the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Like, they use all like local farms, fisheries, ranchers, and stuff like that, so it all comes from responsibly raised animals. Excuse me, it can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. And because it ships the exact amount, there isn't food waste. Because that's another big thing. When I do my own food shopping, I end up throwing out a mildewy bag of spinach or the chicken, blah, blah, blah. This happens and I got to toss it. Oh, I took it out to defrost it, never cooked it. Now it's dead. Blue Apron sends you all you need to do. So, look. And you can save money. It's less than $10 a person for a meal. So if part of your New Year's resolution is just to eat cleaner or make sure that you save some money, I think Blue Apron is the answer for you, man. So just hit yourself with some blueapron.com/mighty. Use my promo code. That'll hook you up with some free shipping, and you get your first three meals free. I just did it to myself. I'm looking very forward to cooking a couple of these meals. And check it out. I had the burger previously, and it was fantastic. So now I'm looking forward to making a bunch more meals. And you can customize the recipes. It's easy. Everything is like printed out. It's like putting together IKEA furniture, but you curse way less to yourself. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/mighty. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/mighty. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hi, Mighty.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your host, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one frog boy! The number one frog boy! Joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty studio is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. And joining us to chat, to talk, is former guest, former friend, future lover, Sean Clements. Sean, thanks for coming to the High and Mighty studio, brother.
Hi, thanks for having me, John.
We're Goofus and Gallant finally hosting a podcast. it's really great to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I love just the environment you've created is so warm and welcoming. And it really feels like a little peek behind the curtain at the real John Gabris. I think you're so polished out in public. You put on such a facade where, you know, I go like, but there's got to be a crack somewhere in here.
And then you see that when you knock on my door and I answer it in sweatpants and a tank top.
Mm-hmm. Sweatpants and a tank top. And then he threw what I assumed was an Inside Out t-shirt over the tank top.
I put on deodorant in front of you too, I think. If I
remember. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was in a drawer with clothes. So it's fun for me to be like, oh, this is how he really lives. You know, I love that you're not pretending to be someone you're not. Like when I run into you out at Soho House or Chateau Marmont.
Yeah, when I'm just like Final Draft open, just typing away on Bluetooth.
Yes, half rim glasses and just sort of, yeah.
I'm wearing 7 jeans and a
cigarette holder. You've got one of those like Breakfast at Tiffany's style, like.
That's just how I roll, because, you know, what they say is, like, dress for the job you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not positive what the job I want is, but I know it pays a
Truman
lot.
Capote, right?
That's yeah, that's the job I'm looking for, is Philip Seymour Hoffman's stunt double in Cold Blood 2. thank you for... This is a good segue, because that was a solid, solid roast. So let's get to the reviews of my podcast. As always, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments on iTunes, I will read them out loud. Yes, this is an obvious cash grab for stars, but I'll take what I can get. So here, let's get into a few of these reviews, Sean. Feel free to chime in and let me know how true they are.
Yeah, sure.
This is from some unpronounceable name, Fedigeviz. Title of the review is R.I.P. Matt Besser. I'll admit, Improv for Humans hasn't been the same since Gabris ate Besser and the other humans so he could host his own podcast. He even changed the title to commemorate his achievement of being higher in cholesterol and mightier than standard American waistbands. Gotta give it to him, though, his girth is truly impressive. Too lazy to unsubscribe. 5 stars, listen every week, R.I.P. Matty B.
I'll chime in on this. Fake.
Good call.
It's fake.
That is fake.
I hate this fake internet stuff and fake news that's been going around.
Fake news is killing me, dude. This is fake Gabris news.
Yeah, fake Gabris news. He didn't eat Besser. I know because Besser emailed me last week.
Yeah, that's another thing. Just so you know, if in case you're listening to that review and curious what that means, this is not Improv for Humans that I've taken over where I interview. This is a separate podcast. Improv for Humans is still running. So nice try, asshole. All right, this is from A Space Oddity 3001. The title of the review is, really? Come listen to this ham-hocked bull run wild through a china shop of delicate topics, such as race, parentheses, other than his, alcoholism, parentheses, his, homosexuality, parentheses, his, and more. Drink every time Jean's body makes noises reflecting its sad state. Or don't, since you'd quickly end up like him. Decent show? Give it a try? That one hits a little closer to home. That one is not fake news. This is as true as Pizzagate.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about... Is the homosexuality his thing? Like, yeah, what's that joke?
I think they don't realize how fluid my sexuality is. Yeah. I don't think they realize that it doesn't affect
I don't
me.
Think this is somebody who studied the Kinsey scale and knows that you're dead center.
I'm just right in the middle.
Bullseye, baby.
I one time had a hat on or something like that, and Rogers was like, "That you actually can pull that off because, you know, you're like pansexual." And I was like, wait, what? I was like, okay, all right, a little bit. I see that.
Mm-hmm.
A Space Oddity, nice try, but I am gay. All right, this is from Bow's Nose, the poor man's Gino the intern. Okay, figured. How this bit player from Bones and Adam Ruins Everything can maintain a podcast following is a mystery. Since his Long Island accent is like nails on a chalkboard, it's like he's doing a horrible impersonation of Gino the intern from Comedy Bang Bang. Besides that, I love everything he does. Besides my voice, you like everything on the podcast?
Yeah, the audio only experience
guests,
that you have.
Is what you're saying? The guests, the downloading it, the art?
the ideas. They must want a transcription.
Imagine reading a transcript of my podcast. It would be so fucking boring. Be like, parentheses, burp, parentheses, hiccup.
I mean, any podcast. It's just nonsense. But this one in particular.
This one.
Ruins. What did you ruins with Adam?
I was in the drugs episode.
You ruins drugs.
I ruins
drugs. John.
I know. I was cast as a Heredites, a Greek guy who was famous for putting cannabis on steam room, like in a sauna.
Oh.
So it was right in my wheelhouse in that I got to wear a toga and make reference to marijuana.
And you love saunas and spas. And
I do.
I think about you whenever. I was just in the Roman baths at Caesar's Palace.
Oh, right. You
weekend.
Went to Vegas this last
yeah,
weekend.
And yeah, and I was thinking about...
I'm a big Schwitzer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm an old soul that way.
Mm-hmm.
I like alcohol, schwitzing, and hitting women. I'm just a classic old Vegas guy.
The big three, yeah.
I'm just a throwback.
You're like a Rat Pack member, yeah.
I like to drink, shoot dice, schwitz, and slap women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For having an opinion.
Yeah, for speaking while I'm trying to get a joke out.
Mm-hmm. For pointing out that, like, your flies down. Or your, yeah.
I was at, here's a quick little humble brag. I was at Sundance this weekend, and
ooh.
I went up for a little Q&A after the movie, and I was standing next to a mutual friend and former guest of the podcast, Adam Pally, and I was like, my fly is open. I got to make a move. And I had to, like, turn towards Pally, zip my fly up. And when I turned back, I had on, like, skinny jeans to try to look hip. The fly burst back open. Like I felt it go all the way down. So then I zip it up and I go, Jesus Christ, it came down again. And Pally goes, now I'm nervous. Checks his fly. His fly's half open. Then we hear Brett Gelman laugh in the crowd. It was like, we put on like a fucking Keystone Cops zipper routine only for Gelman, who happened to catch that.
Oh, good.
But yeah, that's the kind of guy I am. I will go to Sundance because I'm that cool, but I will have my fly open and not speak during the Q&A.
A lot of cues for that A?
I had a pretty couple of solid cues for that A, for
oh,
sure.
Good.
Yeah, I believe I got the microphone taken away from me when I mentioned what drinking so much red wine did to my bowel movements.
Oh, okay.
At a Sundance.
Who took the mic away?
Pally.
Yeah, that's right.
He's looking out for me. I feel like the Sundance moderator would have liked to have taken it away, but sheer distance.
Too far,
yeah. All right, well, let's get into it. That's enough reviews. As always, listeners, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read it on the air. I need these 5 stars, man. I just need it. I don't even give a fuck.
The guy craves stars. I've seen him.
This is what I'm after. I'm just trying to make a quality product in the fakest way possible, in the cheapest, cheatiest way possible. But Sean, I wanted to have you on today to talk about something. We have a few things in common, but also we vary wildly on almost everything else.
Yeah, we're very different, yeah.
But the few things we have in common truly bring us together, whether it be gambling or watching movies or drinking iced coffee.
Yeah, that's right. We were trying to figure out what to talk about, and I wanted to really find a way to show how boring I am to talk to. And this seemed like a good way because, of course, I have a lot of thoughts on iced coffee.
Same here.
I think you're mentioning us being opposite because, of course, you only drink and get high, and
that's all I do,
and that's, you know, what I don't do. But because of that, you know, one of the drugs I do enjoy is caffeine, and so I was thinking about, like, because I used to chief the kind bud.
Chief herb.
I definitely chiefed herb. And what some of what I liked about it was the ritual and the different strain and the different this and the different that. And so I think I do try to find things to replace that. And coffee's a place where you can't, because you've got like your recipe for the coffee and you're going to use it to like jack you up. But it's like, I'm going to, you know, get the right beans and do the grind and do the right combination and mix.
And you can flex your own style, like with weed. If you like are a bong guy, a joint guy, a bowl.
Yes.
Of vape. Coffee is like the same thing. Are you a cold brew guy? Are you a hot coffee?
Do you like
are you a latte?
Are you making your own espresso?
Yeah.
You know?
But the reason this really comes up is because you're a coffee, like, so that's your drug of choice, one of your drugs of choice, mm-hmm. coffee, gambling, and cigars.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, and dirty, dirty sex stuff, like freaky, fucked up.
Oh, yeah. It's a goddamn porno movie in my house. I'm such a...
There's tarps everywhere whenever I go.
Sex maniac, yeah, the bone room. Just like, just, yeah, rubber pads on the walls and just like, it's soft.
Yeah, you need that for
but with bounce.
Yeah, you're going to need all that.
I need everything because it's so many shapes that I make with my body.
Well, that's another thing a lot of people don't know is that you are wildly flexible.
Oh, yeah. I can put just about anything just about anywhere. That's what my business card says.
You're doing it to get like TV writing jobs. People are like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
but it's for
you
them
need
to
a guy
decide.
Like that in the room, though. You need
you
a guy.
Do. You gotta have one.
You gotta have a dude or a woman.
You gotta have a joke guy, a story guy,
a black
and then
guy,
just a fuck machine.
Guy.
Black guy,
a joke
woman,
guy,
and a fuck machine. Yeah, joke guy, story guy, black guy, woman, fuck machine, and that's every writer. And that's from Quantico to Big Bang. You know, it's all. There's a
universal. You know, the bigger budget ones have maybe two black guys and two fuck machines, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might get an extra fuck machine in there, and careful if they tangle horns.
Yeah,
because
yeah. You want to separate them when you pair up any episode.
Break them into different rooms. We'll break off a small room, and then we'll just put one fuck guy in each.
That's what happened in the second season of Friday Night Lights, is that they had all fuck machines.
They had all those fuck machines,
and nothing
was getting
done.
And that's why the
done.
Story was...
That's why it got... They...
Driven around.
Yeah, they brought it back down by getting a Harvard guy, a joke guy, a playwright, a black guy, a girl, and a
UCB
Pacific
guy. We could take it too.
Yeah.
We're going after the Harvard guys, but there's always a UCB guy.
There's always a UCB guy. He's often like the Harvard guys, but fatter. But specifically, you don't drink. Being a caffeine, like being caffeine being one of your drugs, but you don't drink hot coffee.
It's so now, or I guess for probably for the past, let's say 8 or 9 years, it's primarily iced coffee, cold brew.
As the transition to cold brew.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty rare that I'll have a hot coffee. Even when it's very cold outside and a hot drink would be nice, I just like, now I'm all the way on a cold brew. That's what I like. And you're the same way.
I'm the same way. Even when I lived in Brooklyn and it was snowing out, I had to switch where I picked up my daily coffee once the seasons changed, because one place was like, well, we don't make iced coffee. And then I convinced one deli in my neighborhood in Red Hook that, just make iced coffee and I'll come here and buy it every day.
Oh, you know? Really?
Yeah, and they were like, fine. And I was like, they had a pitcher of iced coffee. Hardly anyone ever bought it, but it was me. I would walk with a glove on to the subway drinking an iced coffee in the snow.
Yeah.
Because I just hot beverages always make me – I'm sure people who listen to this podcast know this, but I sweat very easily.
Mm-hmm.
I got like one red carpet interview at Sundance, and they used a clip of it before every movie on the second day of like, this is my first Sundance and I'm pumped, and it's me, and but I'm pouring sweat, and it's visibly snowing, like,
yeah,
in Sundance, and I have sweat pouring down my face as I scream into a camera. I look like a fucking meth head.
You might be surprised to learn that I sweat a lot too, even though I physically maybe don't look like you,
or
the typical big sweat guy,
right?
I just run real hot,
but you remain so cool and calm and collected.
Well, my personality, I'm sort of a dead fish.
That was the phrase I was. Personality wise, I am I'm flatlined, barely registering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Check my fucking carotid.
Yeah, no pulse. Just don't feel anything. Don't have don't have any feelings about anything. It doesn't matter what I'm looking at. Could
barely be affects me.
A dead body or a new love. It doesn't matter.
I've aced thousands of lie detectors, not because I'm a good liar, just because I don't have a care in the world.
Well, I don't value truth or human life. So it's just hard for me to care what I'm saying.
See, for me, I feel you on that. I always pass lie detectors tests because they're like, his heart is racing the entire time.
Yeah, there's no, the baseline is that. It's just through the roof.
I'm just redlining full time. I've got like 8 years left in this on this earth.
It's like that one episode of The Commish where the guy put a tack in his shoe.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I remember.
And then he'd step on it hard and then it would make his heart jack up and he would do it for all his normal answers where he was telling the truth because
the pain response
was like throwing off the needles.
I remember that episode of Commish. Let's talk about the Commish, like half remembering episodes for the next time.
Yeah, okay. We can do it. Because I think, I don't even know if it was really the Commish.
Well, I feel
I
like.
Think I think it was, but I'm not sure.
I feel like I've heard it a few times. Like it was like CIA agents and FBI agents were actually taught that technique in case they were ever forced to polygraph.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's like a widely known thing is not what I meant to say there,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like that's a thing that happens.
It's a famous thing.
Yeah, the thumbtack thing.
Yeah, the thumbtack in the shoe.
I have him in my shoes all the time. Just for.
And then they realized he was doing it. And I remember at the end of the episode, what they did was they kept like taking him to different rooms and like making him walk a lot.
Oh, that's really funny. So
because they were like, "Oh, we need to bring you in for another test," and they'd be like, "Oh, you know what? This machine isn't working. Let's go downstairs to the other one." And they like made him walk
and
forever.
He's like, ow, ow,
yes,
ow,
yeah, and he like couldn't walk that much.
That's really fun.
Pretty good story.
You know what? Well, we're going to stop here. We're going to watch.
The fuck machine pitched it. Yeah.
We're going to watch some Commish. We'll be right back with some more. But what is it about iced coffee that that wasn't one thing I did love about moving here a few years ago is that iced coffee is now readily available almost everywhere.
It's everywhere, and it's become like a special. It's like microbrews or something. And again, not unlike the ritual of like smoking pot or whatever, or people who get really into wine.
Yeah.
There is like there's flavor profiles and you go to a place and they're like, well, we have nitro cold brew. Well, we offer like, do you want the dark or the light roast? And then they have like on the different bean bags, they have the descriptions of what the like different notes are in the beans and the flavoring.
Like using different beans for iced coffee is like a completely like I feel like that's a recent thing. I feel like when I first got into iced coffee, which is when I first got into coffee, it felt like it was like the place would either have old coffee that they let get cold, or they would pour hot coffee over ice, which is literally my nightmare.
Well, I was going to bring that up, yeah, because I was just, when I was in Vegas, we went to like a diner place for breakfast, and I was like, do you guys have iced coffee? And they were like, oh yeah, but I knew.
You knew that they meant they were going to pour a fucking
pot. They're going to pour hot coffee onto ice and it'll just be super watered down lukewarm coffee.
Yeah.
And then when they do that out here too, because there are places in LA that do that, and you go like, just say you don't have it, because there's not a single establishment here that is not within walking distance of another place that serves iced coffee.
Right.
So like I'll just go get it, you know, like,
yeah, you should tell that that should be the do you want a Coke? I'd like a Coke. Pepsi okay? Like, you should say, I want iced coffee. It's like, just a heads up, we pour hot coffee on ice.
Yeah.
How badly do you need it right now?
Like, yeah, right? Because it's like, there's a place that we go for breakfast sometimes on Larchmont. There are 5 coffee places on Larchmont. And then there's one restaurant that doesn't have iced coffee, but if you order iced coffee, they'll pour hot coffee over ice. And it's like, just don't do it. Say you don't do it.
Yeah, and this is California.
It is.
Yeah, iced coffee, I feel like, is what a lot of people drink. And that's what, I think I moved out here. California being a warmer climate means more iced coffee available. But I also moved around the boom of iced coffee, I feel like, in the last few years. Now you find, like, a Gelson's or a Ralph's has a section where there's just, like, bottled iced coffee, cold brew.
We can talk about bottled iced coffee. First of all, how you feel about nitro and the whole nitro explosion that's happening right now. There's bottled nitro, and then a lot of places have the basic, like the Guinness tap, where there's like a big head on the coffee.
Yeah, so
do you like that?
Let's talk about that. Yeah, I do enjoy that. I actually, I I don't think it could be my regular cup of coffee.
I don't think I prefer it.
Because they don't put ice cubes in it. And part of what I like is about iced coffee fully, it reminds me of the way I used to drink Bloody Marys. The mm-hmm. first few sips are like, whew, and then the last sips are like more refreshing and less flavorful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like when the cup of coffee at the end is sort of like watered, milky, and very, very cold for the last couple sips.
You get that big punch at the beginning of the drink where it's like the jolt that you need. And then if there's no ice, if it doesn't get watered down at the end, by the end you're going like, I probably shouldn't finish this because like
right.
it's going to be too much. I'm going to be like nauseous or yeah, like just like vibrating like, yeah. or have a heart attack. Yeah. I feel the same way, and there's a place that I go where the nitro cold brew is markedly better than their regular.
Yeah.
And so I'll get it there.
But I do like the nitro in that it eliminates the need for, because you drink your iced coffee black. Well, let's get into that.
I drink it black, yeah.
But nitro coffee, you don't need milk or ice or sugar, I feel like. Just the pure, like, just getting it nitrogenated.
Yeah, because there's a creaminess to that head being involved that makes it feel less necessary to have sweetener or cream. So my thing with black coffee, I drank coffee in high school, and I would take it with, like, milk or sugar or whatever. Yeah.
Standard, then, like, entry-level coffee drinking.
Yeah, where you're kind of making, like, a shake almost.
Yeah,
where,
I didn't
like,
drink
it's
coffee.
Like Irish cream or something. Like, you didn't drink coffee growing up?
I didn't drink coffee until I was, like, 23. I started with our mutual friend Dom Dirkus.
Oh, yeah? Well, I drank it in high school. We would, like, my parents would make, like, Dunkin' Donuts brand coffee beans at our house, and I would have a cup, and then I don't know if the proliferation of like Starbucks and stuff was happening, but I remember going and like making a coffee with a bunch of like ingredients, you know, that I would like add because they'd have like nutmeg and vanilla powder and all this shit out on the counter.
Yeah,
and
we're about the age where Starbucks became a thing, but I don't think it came a thing when we were in high. Like they were slowly popping up, but I feel like high school kids have Starbucks orders.
But I remember there being like a coffee bar that had more things even than are available now where there was like cinnamon and stuff on the counter. And I would like pour a bunch of shit in there and like make coffee with my friends. And then I had this job. Have I ever told you about the job I had where I used to clean cooling towers?
Nope.
So do you know what a cooling tower is?
I think so, but
on like skyscrapers, a lot of times you'll see those like water silos, right?
Right.
And frequently, either with them or without them there's a big metal box. So, like, in New York, I was just in New York, and I'll look at the top of the buildings all the time because, like, on, like, 30-story buildings, there's always these huge metal boxes. And those are cooling towers, and the water in a building like that, in like a water system like that, runs up through that and it cools the water down, and some of it actually runs into the cooling system. So I don't want to go too long on it, right? But Legionnaire's disease is caused by this bacteria called Legionella, which develops in algae, and it's named that because there was a whole group of Legionnaires at this like convention. And in the cooling system.
Wait a minute. Did I just hear about that on like 99% Invisible? Or
maybe you did.
I just listened to a podcast that described how Legionnaire's disease was.
So, yeah, they all
But not French
this...
Legionnaires, but like American Legion
yes,
guys.
Yes, American
right?
Legionnaire. It was like, I think it might have been in New York. But
they were coming from Pennsylvania and came. I'm remembering this story now.
So it came through the cooling system, they breathed it in, and it looks exactly like pneumonia. And so people get treated for pneumonia, and they die. It kills like 20,000 people a year because they get mistreated for it. So because after that happened, any company that has cooling towers has to have them cleaned like once a year. And I was part of one of the only crews that like did this. There was this company called Nalco Chemical that started like sending out people to, and you get inside the box and you blast all the algae off. You have to wear like these big like biscuits, these like air filters on your mouth, these Tyvek suits. You blast it with these industrial pressure washers, which by the way, you have to carry up onto the roof because there's never an elevator that actually goes to the roof. So you got to take the stairs up, set up there. So I did that for like a year, and we would get up. We covered the whole tri-state area. So I lived in Connecticut, but I would like meet my boss at like a highway rest stop. He would pick me up and drive me into New York or into Rhode Island or into Pennsylvania, and we would clean these like huge cooling tower things. And he would pick me up at like 4 a.m., and we would stop once – and he would go and buy a black coffee for everyone in the truck. And he would not put milk or sugar in it, and you stayed in the car. And it was just like, that was the way it worked. And I got addicted to it because the coffee was so strong. It was always like gas station coffee,
right,
that it was
that
stale
fucking turbo
and sitting.
Shit.
But
yeah,
it was so strong and it was so nasty, but it woke you up because it was 4 a.m.
Right.
And it was like, I'm going to need to get
time?
Up.
Were you in college or college age or high school age?
I was 41. Like 23, like 23, 24. Okay. It was like right before I moved to New York because the job paid great.
Right.
It was super dangerous. You're like I'm on top of the MetLife building on a ladder leaning up against the size of a metal box, blasting a pressure washer that's pushing like the force
poison
is pushing
the
ladder away from the build. So you're like, am I going to like jet rocket myself like off the side of this fucking building?
Like the things in final season of Kenny Powers, like those.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you've got two pressure washers in your hand, like blasting like that, and it's stuff that you're not supposed to breathe in. Right. And the pressure washer is so strong that like one guy shot himself in the leg,
and it
made a hole in his leg, and like water and blood just shot out of the hole because it's just like they're so powerful,
right?
Because they're for cleaning industrial equipment. Right. So anyway, that got me, like, I did that for a year, and I basically had, like, a black coffee every morning, like, 6 days a week for a year. And then I was, like, I couldn't drink coffee with milk and stuff anymore. It just was, like, didn't feel like it was going to have the same effect that coffee did. So I could switch to iced coffee because that feels really strong still.
Right.
But, like, any kind of sweetener or milk, I go, like, well, what am I drinking? It's, like, it was the same way when I used to, like, drink alcohol. It's
right,
like,
drink like
I need
a
the
rum,
bite,
rum and
you know
Coke.
What I mean? Yeah, I don't want.
And then
the
you're
thing
like, you graduate
like,
to whiskey.
Yeah, you don't want like a pina colada or whatever, where you're like, wait a minute, like there's no alcohol.
Well, there also comes that thing where it's like, I need two of these or three of these. If I'm going to have two iced coffees a day, I can't be having that much milk and sugar. It's like, if I'm going to have five drinks at the bar, I can't have five glasses of Coke.
No, it's like, I want to feel the bite. Like, I want that like sting on my tongue so that I know, like, this is going to kick me in the ass.
This is caffeine.
And it's the same with coffee for me.
Yeah, I got into coffee. I worked at VH1 right after school, and they had free coffee in the break rooms and free soda, but I wasn't doing coffee yet. So like at 3 p.m. when I was dragging ass, I'd have like a Barks root beer from the soda fountain.
Barks got bite, baby.
Barks got bite. Talking about got bite, baby.
And the bite's the caffeine.
Yeah. Is that what the Barks?
That's right.
I like that.
Yeah.
So I was using that for a while, and I was like, you know, slowly getting fatter and fatter, and I was like, I can't do this. I never got into coffee, even though I was like not sleeping. But when you're 22, you can sort of live off of not sleeping, you know? And then a couple of years later, I got a job working for some weird production company, writing sketches, like with Dom, with our mutual friend Dominic Turkus. And Dom drank coffee, and he was like 4 years younger than me or whatever he is. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I can.
But Dom's like 40.
Yeah, Dom's 40
and
20 at the same time.
And has been since he was 12. Yeah, that's right.
Dom's
12. He looks like a child. Yeah.
He's one of the few. He's like 12 and 40 at the same time.
Yeah.
Where he's like easily wind upable and giddy, but also like sort of stoic and like has like responsible adult opinions on things.
And a lot of like, and he has that private school thing where he's very comfortable in like a collared shirt sticking out of a cardigan.
Yeah, which would be for me as a sweater, my living nightmare.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I cannot imagine wearing that. But we started just going to Dunkin' Donuts at 4 o'clock every day, regardless, and getting coffee because we were working till like 7 or 8. And then him and I would often have improv practice later that night. So we're like, I got in, and I'm like, ooh, I like that. And then I'm like, ooh, now I should have one in the morning when I get into work.
Yeah.
And then I started having like two iced coffees a day. And then I was like, that habit stuck with me. That was 10 years ago now.
Did you ever smoke cigarettes?
No.
I used to smoke cigarettes too. And so that was like the morning for me.
It was
like
a coffee and a cigarette.
Oh. I was like, oh, this is like the dream.
Here's a quick side thing. You have gone through some addictions.
Uh-huh.
How hard is cigarettes compared to, because you hear people say like cigarettes are harder to quit than anything else. Like, were they all sort of associated with one another? So
it's so, yeah, well, it's, yeah, they're so separated. Like, Because I held on to cigarettes for a long time after I quit, like, drinking and doing drugs.
Because you're,
and
like, that's, I, like, still allowed.
In, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was, like, you know, it was like, quit things in the order that they're, like, ruining your life. Right. Like, yeah, it was, like...
Maybe,
was
like, maybe quit pills and leave cigarettes for the time
being. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it was, like, all right, well, this is, like, bad for me, but it's not, like, making it so that I'm, like, unemployable and like, can't maintain...
I could still interact with my family.
And, exactly. Yeah. So I did hang on to them for a while. So I feel like at the time that I quit them, I was in such a better place in my life than when I was quitting the other things.
Right.
It didn't feel as hard and devastating.
You
and
had,
like,
ownership over some of your addictions already. You knew it was possible.
But, like, in terms of how much I missed it, like, it's weird how automatic it was. I quit them using that book, The Easy Way to Stop Smoking by Alan Carr, which a few of our other friends have used.
A lot of people...
That
you can only
easy
use
way
it once,
method.
Right?
Yeah, I have heard that if you start smoking again, that you when
the
you go to read
work.
It, it just doesn't work anymore. But, you know, and they have you quit cold turkey, so, like, you're just off it. And it was probably still another month or two afterwards that every time I started my car, I reached into my pocket. Even though I didn't have a cigarette there, it had just been years.
Because, as you pull out... Crack the window.
It had
light
been
it up.
10 years of, like, I was, like, a pack a day smoker, and every time I started my car, I reached in and grabbed a cigarette. And there were certain things where I just had, like, the physical reflex built into me.
Wow.
And it was really, like, funny to be like, oh, why is my hand in my pocket? And it's like, oh, because I, like, want to light a cigarette, even though I don't smoke them anymore.
There was a period of time in my life when I had a VHS in a VCR in my house growing up that when you put a tape in, it said auto tracking on the screen in a blue screen and, like, had, like, a sort of, like, thing that says, like, we're tracking the whatever. And that used to give me an erection because it was like Pavlovian to putting in a porno VHS.
Because
this is like the mid-90s. So no matter what VHS I put in, when it said auto-tracking, I would start getting a hard-on. Like a big blue screen on my TV. I'm just trying to sit down with a buddy to watch Nightmare on Elm Street. And I'd be like pressing my boner down. Because it's like, that's how you know you're jerking off too much. Is if like I'm getting classically conditioned boners from a fucking TV screen.
Yeah, we're all like rats in an experiment that we created.
And it's crazy that I can't bring myself to make good habits.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's
you,
like it
you
has
can't
to be as easy to
develop,
like,
them. Yeah, no, it is.
It is.
Like
if you get up and go running every morning for 21 days, on the 22nd day, it should be just like instinctual rolling out of bed, putting your sneakers
on. It's normal to you. It's just like it's easier to get out of good habits, I feel like.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because I have like been able to like build up like, oh, I'm in this really great routine where whatever with exercise or something where it's totally normal to me. But if I take a week off, then I can't really go back. Whereas if you take a week off of a bad habit, it's so easy to fall back into it because it's like sloth and laziness.
Right,
and
right. And it goes like, I feel like, if you quit smoking, then you smoke for like a week. You quit smoking for a year and then you smoke for like a week. You're like, fuck, I got to get out of this again. It's easy to quit again, I feel like. Not easy to quit again, but...
Yeah, but I'll say this, too, about that Easy Way book. It does say, like, one of the very first things it says is, like, after you quit, like, if we, you know, get you off nicotine, you can't do any... Like, you cannot smoke cigars or anything like that either because it'll, like, bring you right back to where you were.
Right.
And as you know, I do sometimes smoke cigars. And I just haven't found it to be the case. Like, I just, like, again, I quit doing all this other shit that was so bad for me.
Right.
And then every once in a while, there's like something where like, I want to celebrate or I want to do something I know is unhealthy for me with my friends to like be, I don't know, a shithead. and it's just like, that's a thing I've decided is okay.
And it doesn't drag you back into wanting to smoke.
Well, it's so different from cigarettes for me. Because when I was smoking cigarettes, I hated cigars. They were so frustrating to me. They took forever.
You can't inhale them.
Yeah. They're just like, they smell different and taste different. And I was just like, I wanted that. I wanted French fries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't want a baked potato. But now it's like, okay, it's a thing that takes like an hour and you talk with your friends and you get. You know,
it's about the vibe,
crazy
almost.
Nicotine, but
yeah,
there's something about it that's like.
I mean,
different.
I enjoy hanging out with people smoking a cigar, That's why I like, you know, we have some cigar nights. I like those for me, even though I don't really like to smoke cigars, because I like to be outside because of the sweaty thing.
Yeah.
And if I like to just bullshit. And it's like, if you and Dom and company are going to be just settling in for an hour of cigar smoking,
Shit about all of our friends who we don't like.
All of our close friends that we have super strong negative opinions about.
Yeah, that's right. That's what cigars are
that's
for.
That's the next episode of I Am I that I have you on for. Welcome back to Clements and Gabrus bridge burning party. And then we tag everyone we talk about into it and put it out there.
And they still don't listen.
Yeah, and they still don't listen.
Who the fuck would listen to a podcast?
Who listens to Friends podcast? Who would listen? Especially the people we would talk shit about would be too narcissistic to... well, never mind. Let's not get into any more
So
details.
Let's talk about making iced coffee, because you now make your own. Well, first of all, we mentioned that there's a lot of bottled ones in the grocery store now.
Yeah.
Have you run the gamut of buying those bottled ones? Do you have one that you like, one that you don't?
Yeah, there's a few that I really like. The one I currently have in my fridge, I used to be a buy a coffee thing, but I think that buy a coffee a day guy or two coffees a day guy, but I think that's a New York thing. Like, it's just so accessible to get coffee on the way to something because you're not getting in a car.
Yeah.
So it's like...
No, you're walking by 12 coffee places. Like, it's harder not to...
Right, and it's almost like I'd rather get the guy to make me a coffee and say what's up in the morning and maybe grab a scone or whatever.
Yes.
That it's like... But in L.A., because you have to, like, get in your car and drive somewhere...
And there's no parking at a lot of places, so even if you work right near a place that serves coffee, it's still like, well, I'm going to have to park and get the meter and do the whole thing. And so it's like a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
you kind of want to have it at home.
My biggest complaint about L.A. is that you can't really do anything on the way to do something else.
Yeah.
In New York, I almost exclusively got every errand I needed done en route to something else. Like, I'd be like, oh, I got an audition at 4. It's like, cool, I'll swing by Best Buy, get that external hard drive I need, put it in my bag and do that. But like in LA, it's like, if you want to try to do something on the way to something else, it's like 3 separate parking events is like your whole day is shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can't really like grab a coffee on the way to work unless you live super close to a coffee shop, walk to it, get it, then get in your car.
Yeah.
Or you drive to your work, walk outside, get a coffee.
And even then, there's places within walking distance of me, but they're not like the places I want my coffee from. Because
right.
Now I am like a little bit of like a wine snob about it almost, where like I can drink coffee from anywhere, but I've invested so much time into it
right,
that I'm like, there's a kind I really like, you know?
So now I make it myself, and I do French press, like, sort of, I know that it's like double the amount of beans is like to where this sticker is, coarse ground, often Intelligentsia or Stumptown, grind it at the grocery store. I have a grinder here, but I broke it. Grind it up, pop it in there, let it sit for, you know, 12 to 16 hours, and then pour into a pitcher that I keep in the fridge. Maybe add a couple of ice cubes because I make it a little too strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I add a couple of ice cubes to the pitcher itself. And then pour that over ice in the morning with a dash of coconut milk, sometimes cinnamon. It used to be whole milk and cinnamon. Then it was just whole milk for a while. Now it's just coconut milk.
Yeah, I'm basically off dairy myself.
Yeah.
I used to be like milk or whatever in my coffee. But now... on the rare occasion that I do have anything else in my coffee, it has to be like almond milk. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that. And I was into almond milk for a little bit. I was into soy when I was in Brooklyn because I liked that it was like a little vanilla-y. Like it kind of knocks the coffee down. It kind of gives you that vanilla latte flavor without it being super sweet. You know, like soy milk is just sweet enough. But my mom drinks coffee a lot and she puts those fucking like nasty little International Delight creamers in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, Joanne, you're not drinking coffee if you're putting like fucking hazelnut cinnamon bun like sweetener inside of it. It's like nasty
to me
now. Yeah.
I know.
I could imagine when you're like, that's a great gateway into coffee is like, you want to turn this into candy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, well, that's definitely how I started as a teenager where it was a treat.
You would go to a diner, turn your coffee to like light tan and add like
a fucking milkshake.
Right.
You know? Like,
yeah, you're adding cream and sugar and like whipping it up. You're like making, fucking, what's it called? I'm trying to think of what it's called. Like a meringue. You're like making a coffee meringue.
But so I've gone through a lot of different bottled iced coffees for the same reason you're talking about, where I just didn't have time to stop on the way in. Because there was actually a drive-through Starbucks on the way to Workaholics when I was there, but it was like, still, the line was long. You had to like turn yourself around. So I did it for a while, but then I was like, no, never mind. I have to have the coffee like before I leave my house.
Right.
So I started buying it because I was not making my own yet. And there are a lot of different brands. Now, I brought you one today that is currently the one that I like, this Venice Cold Brew.
I love this one.
It's really good, isn't it?
Yes, it's very good. And I will say, I really like that it's not a concentrate.
It's not a concentrate. It says it's like, you know, triple filtered with the water or whatever they say on the bottle. But it's not a super thick, heavy feeling to it. And the flavor is what I have found to be, when I'm reading about different bean sort of descriptions and what their flavors are, there's a lot that are floral, or they'll have a note of fudge, stuff like that. I don't like that. Here's what I want.
Yeah, give me the buzzwords.
It to say dark chocolate, which means it's got like a bitterness to the sweetness.
Yeah.
And then I want it to have some kind of citric acidity. So if it says like dark chocolate and Valencia orange or red fruit or something like that, I know that the aftertaste of it is going to be a little bit of like sourness.
Yeah.
So it's like a really smooth, like chocolatey, like slightly bitter, like initial taste. And then the aftertaste on your tongue is this kind of like sour acidity, like a, you know, like an orange or something. That is what I love. And I've tried a lot of different beans, and I've gone to different LA roasteries and gotten them. And I found the one that I think is the best, which is at this place called Coffee Collab. It's a label called Suits and Knives, and they have a Colombian coffee. And the guy there, so I went and I talked to this like super hipster guy who looks like you would think he looks, with like this like big handlebar mustache.
Suspenders.
Yeah.
Full sleeves.
Cool
beard.
Like a weirder Kyle Newacek.
Yeah.
Like long hair, big bushy handlebar mustache.
You don't get much weirder than Kyle
Newacek. No, I know. And so if you're trying harder than him, suspenders for sure. And like a Heisenberg hat. And like... And so I talked to him, and he was like, and he was telling me, oh yeah, he's like, well, Will roasts all these at his own like play, his own warehouse. And he's like, Will's taught a lot of the big roasteries his method, because it's some like Japanese slow roasting method that like makes the beans a lot darker and like richer, and it like takes longer to do it. And he's explaining it all to me. And I was like, wow, that's really cool that he taught, he names these other labels that use this guy's method that he taught them that are bigger.
Yeah.
And I was like, why doesn't, he's like, he's just happy with his small thing. Like, he doesn't want to go big like that. So then the next time I go there, Will is in there, and I find out, I don't think that's why Will has not had mainstream success. He's insane. He's like fighting with people in the thing. His name is like Will Miyazaki or something. He's like a Japanese guy, and he was ranting about All Lives Matter when I was in there, which made me go like, I don't know if I want to give this guy any money.
Right.
You know?
I'm starting to really like this coffee guy. Turns out we like slow roasted beans and some other stuff.
Yeah, it was awful. Truly like, I was like, this is so fucked up.
Don't meet your heroes, or just dudes who roast coffee well.
And I actually haven't been back since then. But I bought like 4 bags that day, and he eyeballed them all. He was like, how much do you want? And I was like, oh, whatever, like a half pound. And he was like, check this out. And he would just like pour into a bag the exact amount and then drop it on the scale. And it was always like, I was just like, oh, this dude's like just a coffee genius who has a lot of other issues.
And I didn't want to
argue with him. But
I did buy an All Lives Matter t-shirt just to get out of there.
It's up to you politically whether you want to contribute anything to this guy. I haven't gone back, but he does roast great beans.
You could separate the art from the artist. Is that what it is?
Look,
because you're
lot
a huge
people.
Polanski head.
Yes. Knife in the water. And I don't know what happened that night.
I wasn't there. That's brutal.
But but that is really good. There's a place. You've been to Go Get 'Em Tiger, I assume.
No, I haven't. But people have recoed that place to me. Is that on the east side?
Yeah. It's on Larchmont.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the guys who used to work at Intelligentsia, which is like a big coffee place out here. And they had a bean label at their place called Sweet Bloom or something like that for a while. They don't have it anymore, but that was really good too. That was like as good as this guy Will's beans.
So yeah, you like, I feel like beans is like the deepest you can get into coffee is like, but I learned later that there's another step of like how you make the coffee now that like those aero filters are huge or like whatever, you know, these weird coffee systems where it's pour over or it's blank. And you have some kind of interesting coffee.
I have an OXO cold brew maker, and I'll say something else about beans quickly, which is you would go, Sean, if you found the beans that are your favorite, why haven't you gone back? It's because I'm still trying new ones all the time because there's such a, I'm always like, well, I'm like, you know, I'm going to geek out on this and like go online and find like what other people say is the best and keep trying
right.
it.
And well,
that's
like,
the best so far. For
like
me.
Wine and with microbrew beers too. It's like, if you like this type of roasted bean, you can point yourself a little bit more.
Yes.
Like when you find out you like session IPAs a lot, then you're like, ooh, who else makes session? If you read those floral notes, like when you see Valencia orange, you're like, well, what else has Valencia orange? Like I know I love Malbecs when it comes to red wine. So that's like, if I don't, like, you can use that as, like, a guidance, so you can really fine-tune your taste where it's like, I realize I like spice.
I'm new in this world because it wasn't that long ago that I started making my own and got this cold brew coffee maker. Cold brew, of course, you replace heat with time.
Right. That's the big thing.
People brew with heat, but I brew with time. And you can even drink hot coffee that's been cold brewed. You just add hot water to the concentrate that you make. This machine is basically just a big tank that you fill with, I think, a 4-to-1 ratio of like ground coffee beans, coarse ground coffee beans to water. And so you put in, I put in, I think, 284 like ground ounces of coffee. Then I pour through like a sieve so that it like sort of makes like a raindrop effect, 8 ounces of water for the bloom. I don't know if you bloom your grounds, but this is something I've read that you're supposed to do, which is you put the water in and then you let it get wet and you let it sort of like expand the grounds and without before you actually soak them.
Oh, wow.
And then that's supposed to bring out some of the flavor. Then I put in
the rest of the
30 water. Ounces of water or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I have like a beaker that's like the right amount. And then I pour that in. Then I stir it. Then I let it sit for 18 to 24 hours.
Okay.
Then on that tank, there's like a little switch. And you put like the beaker they sell you with it underneath. And you flip the switch down. And then it filters out through the screen.
And this makes concentrate.
And it makes a concentrate. And then it's up to you how, like, what the ratio you want to do is. I think Dom has the same one and does, like, 2-to-1 water to coffee. I do almost 1-to-1. It's almost 50-50. And it's super strong.
Yeah, I have a hard time with concentrates because I always fuck it up. And, like, part of me wants to add just milk to it, you know, which is something some people do. You don't necessarily need to add water if you put a bunch of milk in it.
Yeah.
Part of me, but I always feel like when I add water and some milk, it doesn't get the right consistency because it doesn't stir so perfectly. I think I need to like work on that.
Yeah, you do like kind of need to experiment to find like what your formula is. And
right.
I'll buy these Venice cold brew bottles, which I think taste great, and then it's a glass bottle with a screw on cap, and then I'll pour my concentrate like, and I'll pour it to about you know between a third and halfway up,
and then I'll
fill the rest with water, and that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good measure for me, but I used to buy bottled concentrate and just drink it straight, and that would send me through the roof.
I did that once by accident. Yeah. I was in Albany, and I was like, I needed coffee to make in my room because I was there for work, so I couldn't really make a cold brew, but I found that they sold bottled Grady's cold brew, like New Orleans style, with like a little bit of chicory in it, and I love that shit. And I was like, oh, perfect. And I fucking poured one in a pint glass over ice and drank it like in the morning in my hotel room, got in the van to go to set, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have a fucking heart attack. This is the strongest coffee I've ever had. And then I didn't realize I drank like 7 cups
It'll
of coffee.
It'll destroy your stomach. Yep, it'll totally, like, it makes you feel awful.
I felt like my stomach was doing the thing that your face does when you eat something super sour. I felt like my stomach was completely puckered. Like it was like holding it in. I was like, ugh. I actually felt thin because like my stomach was like, everything was just like
contracting,
sucked in.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel thin, but I'm sweating and my I'm shitting. Like hourly. Well,
and one of the advantages of cold brew is supposed to be when you brew the beans without the heat, it's much less acidic,
right?
And it's you know, supposedly a lot gentler on your stomach.
Yes.
And so you can like drink more caffeine with less like of that jittery feeling,
right,
and less of that sort of like sour stomach feeling that you could get.
Yeah. And so then I was like, so going back to bottle brands, we're like, I like that Grady's. And I currently keep Chameleon cold brew in like a big cold brew concentrate. The only issue I have with making my own cold brew is like some days I finish my coffee and I say, all right, tonight, remember to make another batch. And then whatever, the day gets away from you.
Yeah.
And then I wake up and I have no coffee.
You can't just make a cup in the morning,
right,
which does suck. You have to plan ahead. And that's one of the nice things about this, like, OXO thing is it makes so much that you're making a full week's worth of coffee every time you brew. So anytime, like, if you then transfer it out of the beaker to another, to like bottles, like I said, then you can make one at any point during the week. You know, you've got like 5 or 6 days to remember.
Yeah. So I keep like some cold brew concentrate on like just on deck in the fridge because that shit'll last forever. And it's like, if I just I forgot to make coffee, or like I want something like super powerful, or I want to add a dash to a normal cup. I got like the coffee hiccups right now because I'm having my second cup on an empty stomach.
You've been to Groundworks?
Yes.
So I like Groundworks a lot. That's probably my favorite chain coffee.
Yeah.
And the beans they have, Black Gold, those are my favorite like chain coffee beans. And when you go in there, they actually make really good bottled cold brew. The problem is the bottle's like too big. Like it's like 16 ounces of just like pure black cold brew.
Right.
And I would like open one in the morning when I was going to work. And then it was just like, I would be like, well, and it's a pop top. So you can't reseal it.
Right.
So you have to drink the whole
thing. That's how I feel about the Stumptown little Fat Boy
bottles
that they
make. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
And there's another company called Seaworth. And it's like Seaworth Single Fin Sludge is the name of their coffee. And they sell them at Whole Foods. And I was like, oh, this is really good coffee. But every time I open one, I'm like, well, I have to finish it.
Right.
Or I like would leave it on my desk at work until after lunch, like
when it was
a third of the
temp,
way full.
Yeah.
And then it's room temp. Yeah, they should have resealable.
Yeah, they should have resealable. But my big thing is, though, I like it over ice.
Yeah.
Even if it is super cold,
yeah,
I still prefer it over ice because I do like it to be slightly, like I was saying earlier, I like that last cup. I like the variation in that the first couple of sips are like, woo, and then the last couple of sips are like easy to go down. That's the same thing, I think, why I like mixed cocktails, and Bloody Mary I always thought is the best example. It's like it starts as a tomato bisque and ends as like a horseradish flavored sip of ice cold water.
Yeah.
It's like you can run the gamut of flavors with one big Bloody Mary on
ice. Do you want to talk about drinking through a straw?
Yeah.
You prefer that, right?
I do.
Sipping, especially if it's a drink with ice in it,
right,
to sipping it out of the cup.
I love it.
Which is something that cold brew provides, whereas one of the reasons I think that when I do get a hot coffee on rare occasion, if like that's all that's available on a set or
that'll
something,
that'll be the time I have hot
then
coffee.
Then I go like, it is weird to me to be sipping coffee out of the glass. There's a vanity issue too of like you're staining your teeth with coffee, and you don't have to do that when you drink through a straw.
Yeah, I still swish around every sip of coffee. I gargle and swish around every sip of coffee.
Rob Lowe on The Grinder was obsessed with this profile they wrote on like Tom Ford, and he would bring it up a lot. And it was like, and there is like a first sentence of it that I think he posted on his Instagram once that he was talking about, where it was something to the effect of Tom Ford takes the first of his five baths for the day at 6 a.m. and drinks iced coffee through a straw. And it's like he takes like five baths and always drinks iced coffee only through a straw. But Rob would be like, but they make it sound like of course he drinks it through a straw. It's because he doesn't want his teeth stained.
Right.
He doesn't want to stain his teeth.
Like, that's funny to get caught up on that and not the five baths. Like, don't you think the five baths?
Well, he was fascinated by that too, which is a weird thing that you hear about different baths. I haven't heard, but creative people. Have you heard about Sorkin and his showers?
I hear that a lot of people kind of like use showers as part of their creative process.
Yeah,
right?
Any like office he works in, like he has a shower in his office. So like on Newsroom, when they'd be stuck on a story, he would like be like, hang on a second. He'd leave the room and they'd hear he was like taking a shower in his office. And he'd take like four or five showers per day, like whenever he was like stuck on an idea to like refresh or something.
I do dream of having, you currently have an outdoor shower. I do dream of someday having a casita, like a separate room that I work out of with an outdoor shower that I could just like be in and out of all day long. Like, yeah, sort of.
I don't know why I have an outdoor shower. I'm not going to use it.
Well, I'm going to come over and use it.
Yeah, please.
Your wife's going to be like, hey, you got to take the key away from Gamers. He's in the yard again.
I do. I really want a dog, and that's part of my thing with it. Is I'm like, it's so great, we have an outdoor show, we'll just clean the dog off.
And yeah, that is actually great for that.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I take you can do that with a big dog. I take Artie, this little guy, in mm-hmm. the shower with me.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
always like a weird moment where I'm like completely bent over like showering, and I'm like, if someone were to see this is the most humiliating. I have like my open asshole, like, and I'm scrubbing my little dog who's currently barking.
Artie's barking like crazy. Yeah. He's like, do not tell them about this.
I know, he's very upset.
That is for us.
And then like I'll always end it by to get his belly. I have a hard enough time just being in the shower because of my size and like how small the shower. Like, yeah. I can't, because I'm fat, but I'm also super broad-shouldered. So if I stand facing the shower, my left shoulder touches the shower curtain. So I kind of have to like lean towards the wall so I don't want to touch the shower curtain.
Yeah.
So the only way I can really get to Arthur sometimes is I have to pick him up in my arms. And I just the other day was giving him a bath, and he was on my shoulder, and I was just like rubbing his stomach and dick, like washing him off. And I'm like, this is insane. I'm standing here naked. I just washed my dick, and now I'm washing my dog's dick. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way to do this. And an outdoor shower is the answer.
Yeah, that would take care of it.
Yeah, that would take care of it. I could do it in like a bathing suit.
Yes.
Rather than being in my fucking schwanz out where I'm like holding my dog. Fuck, dude. I wish I could take a few showers a day. I just don't like, I feel like it's so inefficient.
Well, it's very bad. There's a drought here. You shouldn't do it.
Right.
Like, but I just heard it. I can't remember the other example, but it's like, obviously Tom Ford takes five baths, we learned. And then
that's
Sorkin
wild.
Takes like five showers. And then there's somebody else who I can't remember that does the same thing.
Because a lot of people say like, I do my best thinking in the shower. And then to like try to harness that is such a funny idea to me.
Yes. Like, well, you're just like, it's not actually the shower. You know,
right. Like, it's like the peace,
like,
and
maybe
quiet.
Try to recreate, that in some other
maybe
way.
Just sit silently for a little
bit. Stand in the tub if you want.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need
water
the water. They think
them.
The water is giving them the ideas or something.
There is sort of like a sensory deprivation feeling to like standing in the shower. Where it's
we
like,
knew when you said sense depth.
Yeah, I don't know
That's
why I did. I literally have never said that. And I just said sense depth, and I was like, who am I talking
to? You're Joe Rogan, man.
This is like, I am like Joe Rogan. We're going to talk about prehistory, testosterone replacement therapy, and sense depth and DMT.
Somebody just asked me recently, like, is there anyone who you like dislike and disagree with, but are afraid that you're like them, like are afraid that you're more like them than you, which is like most people you dislike, you're just like seeing yourself reflected and you don't. But I said as my answer, speaking of Joe Rogan, I was like, I'm Adam Carolla. Like, I'm just going to find, like, when the book is written at the end of history, I'm going to be all over the wrong side of it.
Right.
I just not realize, like, I'm going to be, I'm pretty good. I'm kind of woke. And then it's going to be like, no, dude. Yeah.
You are closer to Adam Carolla.
Yeah,
than
you're just, it's going to turn out that you just, like, ran your mouth too many times and just said the wrong shit and thought you were, like, couching it in some way that made it okay.
I feel like that's what I'm to keep finding common ground between the two of us. I feel like in like 6 years, someone like I'm going to look back and be like, the reason I wasn't half as successful as I wanted to be is this, solely because I'm grating and obnoxious and not as fun of a way as I think I am.
This podcast, you're just going to be like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, like there's going to be all this shit yeah. where you're like you're going to be like, my angle on this was like, totally, it was not inclusive.
It was misguided.
Or, yeah, it was like
it was too intense.
Yeah,
these people get fired from SNL who don't get SNL. There's no way I could get a network sick. Like I could never be successful.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
I have this in my head that if you are always a certain way, like if you're mm-hmm. always like. It's not your fault. You know what I mean? Like, if someone hires me, it's like,
if
that's
you're
just
super consistent, yeah. and you, then it's like you're not like changing.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But that also could be we had a mutual friend go in for a job interview and it didn't go that well. And he was like, I think I was like too New York for them. I was like sort of cursing and busting their balls and none of them liked it. And I was like, and that friend is like 1/10 as New York, if that's New Yorky. Mm-hmm. He's like 1/10 as much as I am. And I'm like, wait a minute, dude. If you think you're not getting jobs because of that, I'm never going to work again. I can only get hired by like longshoremen who get development deals.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll do some fucking industry talk, like total pieces of shit. Like,
let's use this because we're getting towards the end of the podcast here. You host one of my favorite podcasts with Hayes Davenport,
you.
Former guest of the podcast. Check out the newspaper comics episode.
Yeah. Yeah, please. Somebody listen to it.
A podcast called Hollywood Handbook, which is just like an insider's guy. Like, you guys play characters where you're fucking yeah. destroying the business. But it's because we do think about it. Like, it's on our mind.
Yeah, it is like, yeah, it's a parody. It is like with some, like coming from an informed place, playing a character who's totally uninformed.
Right, exactly. That's the most fun. Like, I like nothing more. Like, one of the things I like about playing Gino is being so incorrect about PC stuff. Like, knowing how much I care actually about women and POCs and all that stuff, getting to be Gino to just say the thing that I know is actively the wrong thing in any
yes.
given moment is just, there's something fun about
that. You
them.
Just, yeah, and you're just the right so, vessel for that. You right. just get away with it. Like, you, like everyone knows you're smart enough to know that it's totally wrong,
right.
but you are convincingly able to do it in a way that's funny.
That's also like, wait a minute, how do you know that?
But like, so with Hollywood Handbook, especially because I'm the host of that, I'm always loath to actually talk about stuff. But when you were saying like being consistent and walking into a room and being a certain way in your interview, it's like, yeah, you're super New York-y or whatever. You just have to be that in every
right.
room. Like, you can't pretend you're not that and then get hired and be
and
something
be
else.
Like that in the room.
You just
yeah.
have to hope that you show up in the room where they're going to hire you. And I remember, like, being, like, realizing how limited I am as a performer. And obviously, you're not seeing me on TV, so I'm not getting a lot of acting work. But just going, when I would get sent something and be like, I can't do this. And I'd be like, I should just go in there and act like me. And then maybe they'll find something that's right for me at
right,
some point.
Right, right.
Instead of like me trying to do this thing that I'm never going to be able to do.
Right.
Getting like, you know, 30% of the way there.
Which is funny because what we're describing, I feel the exact same way. And what we're describing is acting.
Yes.
And I just can't do it. It has to be 5% away from my actual personality for me to do it.
Yeah, there's a very small window that I'm going to be able to squeeze through. And it's the same thing with Hollywood Handbook. It's like, this is the one thing I can do, so I'll just do that.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how much, like, eventually when the book is written at the end of time, it's like, and he just shot himself in the foot again. No one wanted to hear, like,
yes.
jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams in this country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sean just, like, had to take a shot at, like, a very successful director on Hollywood Handbook on, like, the one thing he didn't like about their latest movie and make a meal out of it for 15 minutes on a podcast that 20,000 people liked and, you know, the billions of people on Earth didn't. And then that was worth it to him to make those people maybe laugh, but maybe just be like, I want to hear the next part. And then the reward was then when he actually did get a showbiz opportunity, he was like, oh, I'm friends with the director you made fun of. Like, So no.
Right. Yeah. I've said enough frank things about friends of ours or acquaintances that I have like designed my path already, and I don't know. I've definitely limited it.
Yeah, I've closed a lot of doors. I'm now just in the hallway.
Right, and it's okay to be in this hallway because there's a few of my friends who are in this hallway who are actively closing doors as well. And I'm just hoping one of these hallway guys makes it, and yeah. I could also be like, hey, can
bust through the wall yeah. somehow.
I'm terrified for the moment when like you're fucking huge running a show. I'm like, let me be on you. Like, honestly, man, you're kind of problematic for what we got. I'm like, no, are you kidding? I thought you were one of the guys. I thought you were one of me.
Yeah, we were bonding yeah. by shitting on everyone else. So unless one of us makes it,
we're fucked. The other
we're
guy.
Totally dead. Yeah, it's too bad. But I do think you have a personality where you insult people to their face and they don't mind. And they go like, it's John. He makes fun of himself as much as anyone else.
Yeah.
And then when I do it, it's some sort of, because of the cold, detached, like somewhat like elitist vibe.
Yeah.
Or something.
Also, you're like a tall, thin, good looking guy with like blue eyes and light colored hair.
And people
like...
go like, this guy's just a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, that is hard. And
people don't like me or think I'm bullying them that I've never thought of.
That you like, someone tells you something like that and you have to think back to be like, did I ever even interact with that person? And then you remember it and you're like, they thought I was Jesus.
Yeah, I go like, oh, I like them. They don't know. Like, Grace is great, my wife. She's like my personality a lot out in the world. She's very like warm and like loving and kind. Will very act, be like, Sean really likes your thing. And they'll go like, he does? I thought he hated me. I've always thought he hated me.
Yeah. I think maybe I've said this on the podcast when Hayes was on here, but the moment when you invited me to your bachelor party, when I was on that email, I was like, I am friends with Sean. Like, I thought we were, but I was always tentative.
Yeah. Well, I like you, I always had a big resentment against you because people would just be like, Gabrus is the funniest.
But I am, dude.
I know.
But that is an annoying thing to hear.
When
yeah.
you just like when you're in comedy and people are telling you about how funny someone else is, your yeah. initial reaction is like, well, I'm pretty funny too.
Yeah. You don't like that's
and
how
we're
I felt-
so different.
Right.
And I'm like, well, if you think he's the funniest, then you must just not like what I do.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the other end of the spectrum comedy style than you. For sure. As someone who's written countless comedy pieces, and I've written almost zero in my 10 years as a comedy writer / actor, I've mostly hosted game shows. Wait a minute.
Do people want to hear this?
No, they don't.
Us talking about each other's comedy style.
No, they don't.
No.
But maybe there's some inside baseball losers who are like, I mean, everyone who listens to this podcast is a garbage person fucking loser.
Yeah.
They know that. Let's do some last thoughts on iced coffee, and then
all right,
yeah.
You go first,
okay? Of course, hold on. Let me get my my moleskin out where I wrote my closing statement. That'd be awesome if I had like if I actually did any prep for this podcast whatsoever, but then I wouldn't do it. Last thoughts on iced coffee. I love the move that Cold Brew is making, that it's like more readily available.
Mm-hmm.
I think as I get a little bit more money and a little bit more success, I'm going to become that guy who's got the perfect Cold Brew. Like, what you have sounds perfect. I'm going to look into that.
It's a good set. It's like $40 for that OXO Cold Brew maker.
Oh,
there's
right.
an OXO and one called a Filtron, and that are basically the same setup. But yeah.
Yeah. I want to start like... Iced coffee, I think, is going to be something that I do. I do it pretty much twice a day. I've been trying to do it only in the morning now and losing that second. I usually have one post-lunch.
Here's something we didn't talk about, like how much coffee you drink.
Right.
And for me, I try to cycle down. Like, so when I'm like working long hours, like if I'm on a show that's like in production and it's like I've got to be on set at 6 a.m. for like a 13-hour day or something, then I'll have two coffees. Like, I'll have one the second I get up, like, on my way to work. And then at some point, like, post-lunch, I have to have another one to, like, make the push through the end of the day.
Right.
And then I'm having two coffees just to feel normal. Like, just to feel like I'm not dying during the day. And when I'm off work, when I'm, like, on hiatus or when work has, like, a light schedule and I don't need to keep those hours... I will try to actively get it down to I'm having like a half a coffee, or like I'm having like a, you know, I'm having a greater mix of water in my cold brew and having less caffeine so that when I'm under a crunch again, it has become an effective drug again.
Yes. In the last like year, maybe the last 6 months, close to 6 months, I've tried to get down to one cup of coffee a day, except when I'm working.
Yeah, because then you can actually use it to charge you up rather than just needing it to function.
I used to just always have one after lunch as like a way to walk somewhere or as a way to just like digest and get moving. Or
have you ever gone off it? Like fully gone off coffee?
I went off coffee for about a year and drank exclusively green tea every morning.
Yeah.
And I found it to be fine. I was also at my healthiest. Like I was exercising every day. So I feel like I was not needing coffee.
I went off for like 2 months and it's terrifying because you go like, oh, I don't need it. I feel better all the time. I sleep better.
Right.
I don't like, I've just made myself addicted to this drug where I'm like in this constant state of withdrawal, just like with cigarettes or whatever else.
Yeah, right. Where you're just drinking coffee to get back to zero.
Yeah. Go like, why am I doing this? And then when I get back on coffee, I had something where I was like, I'm going to be too tired. And I drink coffee and then you're back in the system and you go like, I shouldn't be on it. It's not good. And I try to forget that because I just like it.
Yeah. I do love coffee. I like the like community of coffee. Like,
yeah.
The only time I drink hot coffee is if I'm away for a weekend with a group of friends, which is kind of common as a mid-30s. Like there'll be a few weekends a year I'm away with friends and someone's like puts on a pot of coffee. That's the only time I'll drink hot coffee is because everyone is like,
and everyone's
sort of hungover because we were probably cooking and drinking all night. And it's like, I'm making coffee to go with breakfast. And it's like, yeah, fill me up. You know, it reminds me of like when I partied in Cape Cod or Ojai, like whenever I go away with these friends or like, I love that like community of like, that's why I like joints over bowls or anything for my weed smoking, because it's like a joint is like splitting a bottle of wine with friends. That's what I enjoy about it. And it's finite and it's like a pot of coffee's done and no more coffee. Or like there's still a little bit left. You want another half cup? Like with a joint, it's like there's a couple of hits left or it's done and it's like move on.
When I used to chief herb, I was definitely like that. I was a joint guy.
There's something throwbacky about joints too that I kind of
Think. It's like a weird like 60s like smoking grass kind of thing.
I call it grass now too. Neil Casey called it grass once around me. Like, and I was like, I'm for sure just going to say grass.
We wrote a whole thing on Workaholics about trying to bring back grass and that it was like a throwback, like slice of Americana thing. There is a scene in an episode that Dom and I wrote called New Drug Dealer, where it was all about they're smoking and they're talking about how they want to start calling it grass again because it feels
is like that the Chris D'Elia
down home
New Drug Dealer. I mean, I'm sure there's a few pot themed Workaholics episodes in the canon.
Because they break up with Carl,
right?
And who's their normal pot dealer, and they start dealing with Rumor Willis.
Mm. Okay, I remember that.
And as they get high, they start talking about how we should go back to calling it grass. And it does have a little bit of like a throw. And Neil also was a guy who, when I smoked cigarettes, he would say, can I bum a square?
Yeah, well, Neil is tight.
And it sounds shitty to hear me say it, but he really pulls off this 20s like lingo in a way that you don't like think it's lame. He comes by it honestly.
If Dom is 12 and 40 at the same time, Neil has been 65 in the 30s. Since I've met him.
He's born in the wrong era. I've talked to him about it. Like,
he's definitely an old soul.
He does feel like he should be, in the
Here's a man
and
who
30s.
Reads the hard copy paper and drinks coffee like a pot. Like, that's what I always respect.
Does all his banking in person.
Does mails, has a landline, a fax machine, takes flying lessons. Like, he's like a guy who's like an old school man. You know what I mean? Sans the like blue cut, like he's not like landscaping or like chopping trees or anything like that.
Yeah.
But he's like a 1930s businessman.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's like Charles Lindbergh or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like we would be like on tour, and it would be like out partying all night long, sick as a dog. We'd get up in the morning, and he'd be having like pancakes, sausage, eggs, and like drinking coffee and reading like the New York Times at some like local college diner. I'm like, you are an interesting man.
On tour, yeah, I listened to that tour club, so that's another reason I was always resentful. I was at UCB.
Yeah.
I'm on this Herald team that's not very good. Four of the people on the team, there's only eight people, four of the people get put on Turco. I'm not one of them. And the team's bad. So I go, well, I must be the problem. And then it's like you and Rogers and Brandon and Neil and all my like closest friends in theater are all who I consider like my peers are all on
who
tour
are
all
no
the
better
time.
Than you are at improv.
Well, that's you know that's my opinion too.
Right,
but are all on tour, and I would just be like these fucking guys. Like,
it's really funny how successful some people could become and still have like that hold on to like an old like.
Well, yeah. Why thing. Would I care? It was like going on like when I was had moved to LA to write for a show.
Yeah. Which you are like you are objectively
goal, and
doing
people are
more.
Making $100 to go do like a University of Missouri like yeah. show, and I'm like, why didn't I get that?
Yeah, and you're like,
because the UCB is like a high school, like it's like you get all fucked
you could
up
be,
on like what the status within that community,
right?
Is.
Like if you were bullied in high school, you're going to perpetually see yourself as being bullied, and then like UCB sort of is like high school again. So whatever you feel during your time at like, because I
why
always,
did not get invited.
My big thing in high school and in UCB was that not a lot of people thought I was smart just because I'm like big and crazy and my sense of humor is like, but I'm like rather intelligent. And I had a chip on my shoulder since then, and I yes. feel it now when I'm in like meetings.
That
I
was another thing people would
all...
say about you, though. They go, "He's actually really smart."
Yeah, <it's> like...
you know, he's actually. Really... I'd be like, "So am I."
Like, most people are. Most people who are like succeeding in comedy have some intelligence to
he's
them.
He's actually really smart. Gabriel's like, he's actually really smart. I'd be like, I mean, yeah. So
we all
what's
are.
It's a fucking, who cares?
He's getting credit.
He's the
he seems
funniest
dumb.
And he's actually really smart. I'm like, we all are supposed to be that.
Just like,
why are we celebrating this about this one guy? Why do I have to hear about this about him?
Because I'm constantly telling everyone, no one thinks I'm smart as I scream racial epithets in scenes and shit like that. I should have said epithets, not epitaphs. Sean, thanks for coming on High and Mighty.
Hey,
talking
man.
Those are some great final
me,
thoughts
bro.
On nice coffee we had. where can people find you online? If you guys are iced coffee drinkers, tweet at me and Sean the way you do it. You're at...
I'm at Sean Clements.
At Sean Clements on Twitter. I'm at John Gabris, no H's. And Hollywood Handbook, anything Making History? When does that come
Listen
out?
Listen to Hollywood Handbook. Making History premieres March 5th. Please do watch. I think it's a good show.
I think it's... I've seen a couple episodes. I think it's
funny,
super funny.
Yeah.
It stars Adam Pally, Leighton Meester, and
mm-hmm.
Yasser, who
yep.
are super funny. I almost said Yasser Arafat. Mm-hmm. Yasser Lester.
He won't mind.
Yeah, and then Gemberling and Neil Casey, also
They're
former
so
good.
Funny on
They're
it.
So good. You wrote on that. And guys, Hollywood Handbook yeah. is like... It's an acquired taste, but I recommend everyone acquire it.
A lot of people say it took them like 5 episodes to get into it, which I go, well, then how did you ever get into it? I can't imagine listening to 4 episodes of a podcast I didn't enjoy and
right.
keep going. But please do.
Yeah, I recommend it.
Because the other thing they say is it took me 5 episodes to get into it. Now it's my favorite.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you like to have a new favorite? Listen to 5 episodes.
Start with, if you are listening to High and Mighty because you're a fan of me, you can listen to a Hollywood Handbook that I was on. I've been on a couple. I'm
Check
on,
out a John Gabris
I think actually,
episode.
Your episodes come out on Wednesday?
Tuesday.
So I think this week...
Tomorrow episode, there's a new John Gabris episode.
So 2 days before today, because this is coming out on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
There's a Hollywood Handbook episode that I'm on that is super inside that if...
Yes, that you will have no context for whatsoever.
That
unless
only
you've
maybe shitheads could even enjoy.
His... Yeah, you would have to have listened to the episode of this that Hayes was on and the previous episode of Hollywood Handbook that Joe Wanger was on in order to understand the one that Gabris yeah. just did.
And then if we're also just throwing out Hollywood Handbook episodes, my favorite episode ever is the Showrunner Summit.
Oh, okay,
with
yeah,
Pat
with
Walsh,
Pat Walsh,
Kevin Etten.
And Etten, yeah.
And that I think that's my favorite episode of Hollywood Handbook ever. I mean, Walsh is like one of the best guests
He's
on Hollywood
so funny.
Handbook ever.
Yeah.
yeah, he plays whatever the game is that you're supposed to play.
Yeah.
Not like anyone else, but also really well.
Yeah, he's got
he's
his
like
own
sort
style.
Of detached, like he hates you guys, but also can play the game. Like he does
stuff on that episode that shouldn't work for like the podcast. Like it's not like improv rules or whatever.
Right.
He'll be like, guys, what you're talking about doesn't make any sense.
I feel it's like my favorite line is like, I feel like I'm gonna. We need to get one writer.
This, yeah, like we're drafting our fantasy writers room, and I'll be like, I want the Noid, and he'll be like, that's not a comedy writer. That's
he's
a fictional logo.
He's
for
like,
a
we're not
company.
Even in the realm of getting people.
Yeah, And I'll be, and normally we all just roll with whatever anyone says, and he'll be like, that's stupid. And it's like somehow works and is better.
Yeah, so check out Hollywood Handbook. Tweet at us your cold brew styles or your coffee styles. If you're a hot coffee exclusively a guy or gal, let us know.
Tweet at me at Sean Clements. And
yeah, we'll definitely be responding. We'll definitely keep up the conversation.
Dude, I'm a
fan engagement.
I'm a Twitter fanatic. I'm on there so much.
Well, thanks for listening, shitheads. As always, rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, and I'll read it on air. Buy yourself a High and Mighty t-shirt. Check out Making History. Check out Hollywood Handbook. And that's about it.
I love you.
I love you. Bye, shitheads. High and Mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.